Moana Maniapoto is with us, and I'm really pleased about that too, because, well, we should have linked arms ages ago, but, well, this and that happens in life, doesn't it? Hey, Moana, it's great to talk with you. It's free trade agreement time for you and me at the moment, but always neat to have you on the program. How are you doing today, sister? Tēnā koe.
Oh, ka pai. Nice to talk to you there. Yes, I miss our regular dates. We used to have some regular hot dates every month.
We did too, talking about the program. But you don't need me to get success in the media world, sister. You've been rock and rolling and going all guns blazing. So, kia ora to you.
My roots are always with Wātea.
Yeah, you're beautiful. All right, Moana. Thanks very much. Let's talk about this European Union agreement, free trade agreement. Everyone's been crowing about it from the government. It was signed in Brussels after the European Council gave it the green light. Māori trade entity Ngā Tuke Whakarururanga says there are minimal tangible gains for Māori exporters, and you co-convene that rōpū, Moana. Share some kōrero about it from that rōpū's perspective, please, Moana.
Okay, so I'll just clarify that we don't describe ourselves as a Māori trade entity. We are an entity that grew out of a mediation with MFAT and the Crown that has a treaty-centric focus, and we monitor what's happening in terms of the treaty in the trade space. So just to clarify that. So, you know, we agree that I want to acknowledge the Crown and the negotiators and MFAT for some of the changes that have happened during the negotiation process. We had a MOU that provided for a co-design of text. Unfortunately, it was in the Māori chapter, which is really not grunty. It's only a cooperation, aspirational kind of chapter, but we did work with other Māori entities to provide some input into the negotiations. There's a gradual shift in understanding from some in MFAT that, you know, they can't just go off and other, they need to take their obligations to Māori more seriously. There have been some carve-outs in terms of digital measures and provision, and so, you know, that they have, that there have been some change in procedure and process, but when it comes to the outcome and the process, our pūkenga, who are our brains trust, prepared a Treaty of Waitangi assessment, and we found that the FTA does not promote and protect the rights, interests, duties and responsibilities of Māori in a treaty compliant manner, and that while we had input into some discussions, the horse had very much bolted by the time that we got there. The commercial benefits, they've been touted a lot, but we don't believe they're obvious. When you look at, you know, the figures that have been tossed around, it sounds really impressive, but the GDP in 2021 was $250 billion, and that's based on a lot of assumptions. Even another independent assessment that's been released by Dr. Jason Mika says it's unclear. It says it's clear that Māori economy's share of any touted gain is unknown. So, yeah, there's some good things that have happened, but I think one of the things that's been praised a lot is the Māori trade cooperation chapter, but that chapter is discretionary. Exclude Sami. I mean, we tried hard to challenge the EU Parliament when they during these negotiations, which we came in late for, and we met with some of them in Wellington to sort of say, hello, Indigenous people, Sami, where were they? Which they actually said, that was glossed over. So that chapter is unresourced, it's unenforceable, and there's no oversight. People talk about the fact that Mānuka was mentioned, and it was mentioned in that chapter as culturally important, but the name isn't protected. So a German company could still trademark the name Mānuka in the EU. So, you know,
as it did with you. Where's Moana trademarked now? Remember, you had an issue there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, that was trademarked in Germany, that meant I could not trade under the name Wina. I had to. That's why we came up with this ridiculous name for my album, which was, you know, Wina and the Tribe featuring Wina Maniputu. How's that for a fabulous little soundbite?
It's almost as well. It's almost as lengthy as the CPTPP or the CPTPP.
As I said at the recent CPTPP, see, you've mucked me up now. The recent CPTPP conference, try saying that quickly after a wine. It's, honestly, there's so many acronyms, it's crazy. But, you know, there are things in this EU agreement that look good. There are lovely words that are mentioned, you know, kaitiakitanga and things like that, but they don't translate into anything enforceable. So that's, you know, and that's our experts in Ngātuki Whakaruriranga, they drill down to look at, you know, the detail. These agreements, Dale, are humongous. There's so many pages to them. Just the assessments of these agreements from a TDT perspective are huge because they're every word is interrogated during negotiations. Now, as I said, our Rōpū and other groups like FOMA and Iwi Chairs and Taumata were brought in by MFAT really at the last minute, but we were brought in. And we were invited to have some input into one particular chapter, which is the one that's touted around as the kind of like the, you know, the gold standard, but it's not. Because by the time we had go through the EU process and all that, it just all gets watered down. So, you know, you have to dig down and have a look and see whether things actually stack up. Where you go beyond the rhetoric, and like I say, every word is interrogated. So when you see the word may, could, that's not really very, doesn't inspire much confidence.
I understand what you're saying, and I salute you, Moana, because you've been involved in this. It's an issue that almost went across the top of the heads of many of our people with the, initially the TPP, which has morphed into something else. And then we've had the free trade agreement with the UK that has an Indigenous or Māori chapter included. And now this one, which is with the European Union, it doesn't guarantee the security of what we need to protect as far as hard-fought treaty rights are concerned. And I can't help but think, because I watched the doco last night. It was the anniversary of the sinking of the Rainbow Warrior.
Oh, wasn't that great?
It was neat. But what is frustrating, because you sit up into the night only to be hit with a to be continued.
I know.
At the back end there, I was waiting for the full story of those French mongrels coming out here and bombing in our own harbour. It was just... incredible. Yeah, but the reason I raised that, Moana, is because sometimes, you know, I mean, there are many things you could be doing, but you're going into bat here, drawing attention to the treaty, drawing attention to free trade agreements that might, that could complicate and diminish, you know, our rights that we've had to fight for in this country. So, hats off to you.
Yeah, there's a crew of us and a growing crew of us too, and we saw that at the CCTPP conference, which Ngātuki Whakaruranga had some strong input into, that understand and that are saying to people, when we talk about free trade agreements, we need to understand that that these things and the rules around these things can impact upon New Zealanders and particularly Māori in ways that we don't imagine. So, you know, we think of free trade agreements about selling fish or honey or whatever, but they can undermine our rights in terms of mātauranga Māori. They can undermine they can chill the ability of New Zealand to develop its own domestic laws to uphold te tiriti. So, you know, I mean, that's why they're really important, and it's challenging work because these free trade agreements are based on models that are the antithesis of Te Ao Māori. But, you know, if we look at the future, we're saying that, you know, an independent Māori voice needs to be at the table during the negotiations. We're saying our people need to be involved every step of the way. As soon as a mandate is reached to negotiate, we need to be right there. We need to have positions, you know, at the ready. We have to stop having these token chapters. The only reason why the EU agrees to that is because it's not going to have any effect, you know, and it sort of lowers the bar established in other agreements. Like there was one between New Zealand, Canada, Australia and Taiwan. It's called the Indigenous Peoples Trade and Cooperation Agreement, and that is a game changer. That is the game changer. So yeah, there's movement, and like I say, we take our hats off to the New Zealand trade negotiator, particularly Vangelis Vitale, who works closely with Māori. We acknowledge the restraints, but you know it's unacceptable that our treaty rights are still not protected in these huge international instruments.
Tēnā koe moana, always neat. I've asked Rangi if he might play a little bit of you. Oh, look.
Oh, what are you?
Oh, look. Now, was this your first song? And if so, how long ago did you record this?
What?
Kua Makona. Kua Makona.
Oh, my God. You know when that came out? 1987.
1987.
I am like about 120 years old.
Yes, yes, me too. Oh, well. Long may it be the case. You're wonderful. Thanks for sharing some cordial today. Hey.
And it's Dry July, so there you go. Kua Makona. That was the kaupapa. I'm Dry July. Here we go.
Good on you. Oh, well, you're into day number 11. There you is. You're going great guns. Thanks, Moana. Thanks so much.
Okay, then. Kia ora.